I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, here's a shocker. Tonight's program will be about yoga and ETs. And not only that, but there'll be lots of interesting concepts, specific techniques that would be beneficial to those on a spiritual journey. And we'll be talking about some cutting-edge science, of course, and probably toss in some reality creation tips as well. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner, which is having a little bit of Japa yoga, which is J-A-P-A, and that's mantra repetition, and that will be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari
Hari
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Hari
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari
Hari Hari Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari 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 Hari
Om Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari
Hari Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari Om
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, one of my spiritual teachers, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I might add that that Hari Om mantra, you could play at your leisure. And one way to do that would be to listen to the archive of this program. And an easy way to do that is go to my website at etyoga.com. And on the main page is a button there, clearly stated Radio Archives. You just hit that one button. It takes you to the most recent shows. This show will appear likely Monday following the show on Saturday evening. And the No Strings Attached, free service. And then if you want to use this as a meditation, you can use it as that. Or you can just use the Hari Om concept as a focus for meditation. And one way to do that would be to find a sequence and a cadence of repetition that suits you. For example, you could do it rapidly, like Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari, Hari Om. Or you could do it very slowly, Hari Om. So whatever kind of suits you and suits your temperament at the time, the idea here is to repeat the Hari Om at the cadence that you choose and keep your mind focused on that mantra. And if you notice that you lose track or start thinking about other things, you gently bring the mind back to the center of focus, which is the mantra. And I would suggest doing that for 20 to 30 minutes minimum, for starters. And you could expand it out to an hour or two, whatever suits you. So that would be one technique that you could pick up from tonight's program. I'd also like to give my gratitude and appreciation for the ET Yoga listening audience, and I hear that listeners to BBS Radio are increasing an amazing rate, and certainly the audience for ET Yoga has also made this program one of the more popular ones on BBS Radio. So I much appreciate the following, and I also appreciate hearing from ET Yoga listeners, especially regarding program content, things that you'd like me to comment about. And also, nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes utilizing ideas, concepts, or techniques that you pick up from this program. So please don't be shy. I'd love to hear from you, and you can always reach me. Email at paperfungo, PAPERFUNGO, paperfungo at yahoo.ca, or green, GREEN as in the color, green at etyoga.com. And as I said, I have deep appreciation for those people who take the time to listen to a program where the content is specifically around self-realization, reality creation, the concept of belief, and what ET Yoga is all about is sharing information that will help you on your spiritual journey. And also as it crosses over into the area of health, because the more you know about how the universe works, you also learn how your body works, and thus there's lots of interesting health related topics that are also discussed in this program. Now, I usually give my usual disclaimer at this point, so I'll do that at this time, that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible, and that also includes Big Pharma. And that's in an endeavor to create your own sovereignty with respect to creating excellent health, maintaining it, and dealing with issues as they arise. And although it's recognized that the advances in modern science in the medical field have made for outstanding progress in areas of trauma and emergency situations, but in terms of the practicalities that most people are dealing with, which is cancer, heart disease, diabetes, etc., Alzheimer's, when it comes to all these kinds of daily more common issues among the public, it's absolutely a farce. I'd like also to talk about the concept for new listeners of yoga, because again, I keep getting emails from people about it and go, how can you do yoga on the radio? Well, in the West, yoga has become synonymous with the yoga asanas or postures. That's A-S-A-N-A-S, asanas. And Hatha yoga is a branch of yoga. In integral yoga, it's one of six branches. And it deals with what are known as kriyas or cleansing procedures, as well as pranayams. That's P-R-A-N-A-Y-A-M-A-S, pranayamas, which are breathing exercises or techniques, as well as the postures, which are the asanas. And that comprises Hatha yoga. But the word yoga means union. And on this show, when we're talking about ET yoga, we're talking about union of you and your higher self, union of you and the universe, whatever concepts you want to use for the highest concept you have for the creation. You can call it prime creator. You can call it God. You can have a personal God. You can have an impersonal God. You can call it all that is. As Sri Swami Satchidananda would say, you can't define the infinite. If you could, it would be defined. So the infinite is infinite. It's like you can call it infinite spirit. It doesn't matter what you want to call it, but that unnameable and unknowable in terms of rational thinking is what we're striving for when on a journey of spirituality and striving towards self-realization. And as Satchidananda would say, as many minds, as many gods. And I like to think of it this way, is that when I went through the doorway and experienced some of these higher states of samadhi, my experience was like, we're kind of like thoughts in the mind of God or prime creator, which is the way my mind conceives it. And another analogy that Satchidananda would clearly articulate would be the concept that it's much like taking a cup to the ocean, that the water takes the shape of the cup. And similarly, each of our minds has a different concept about those higher levels. And the highest levels basically can only be experienced. There's no way that you can logically comprehend them. And in this spiritual journey, there tends to be some commonalities that most people face. And one of those commonalities is what's called the planting of the seed. And the planting of the seed is when a person becomes aware that there are higher levels of consciousness and that you have the ability to attain them. And this is the planting of the seed. And as Ram Dass would say, in I guess in religious terms, it would be the true baptism. And once the seed is planted, the seed grows at the rate that it grows. And many people, in terms of hitting that point where they are on a spiritual journey, come to a point in their lives where either they've been hugely successful and they feel still not fulfilled, or they might even be in some depression. But certainly there's a state where you become, as Gurdjieff would say, and that Gurdjieff was a Russian philosopher. He wrote a book called The Fourth Way, and one of his colleagues, Uspensky, also has an amazing book that I highly recommend called In Search of the Miraculous. And these guys would clearly point out that the spiritual journey sometimes starts and there's a shock, and that shock happens when you're kind of in that neutral frequency. And what attracts someone to a positive path or spiritual teacher is what's called a certain falling away of worldliness and their sincerity. So some people, when they're in this shock period, or let's put it this way, you're susceptible to outside influence, some people may have a personal experience which would just boost them in the positive direction, or you may be attracted to certain teachers or information that sends you in the positive direction. And it also works the other way, that if your sincerity isn't there and you're really just kind of BSing yourself and you really don't have that falling away of worldliness, that you could be negatively influenced as well. So this is a kind of a common point that many people experience on a spiritual journey. And then likely there are some individual awareness situations that happen where people have realized some of these higher levels of consciousness, and sometimes they remember them, and sometimes, and we try to get back to those points where we're at that high level, and what causes us then to come down to a lower level. And that sometimes becomes the focus of a spiritual journey. And many people then are attracted to teachers of certain methods, and those methods can be successful, and as there's a saying that when the student is ready, the teacher appears, and I think that's pretty much true along the whole spiritual journey. So what we have is in ET Yoga, we talk about the marriage between the real yoga, which is union, and the extraterrestrials. And the interesting part about the extraterrestrials, I find, is as time goes on, more and more of the channeled extraterrestrial material that's been coming our way for the last 50 or 60 years has been proven by science. We now have people like Greg Braden and Bruce Lipton and Joe Dispenza, and they're all coming out now with, if you're noticing on YouTube, they have these amazing YouTubes. They come out with the concept that the universe is holographic and fractal, and that the language of interpretation of the universe is belief. So in simplified terms, what you believe is. We have some of our top quantum physicists now saying that intention affects future probability. And we have Bruce Lipton's book now called The Biology of Belief, which talks about how the body actually deals with producing the positive chemicals for healing all through the concept of the mind, triggering some of these positive processes that take place in the body. And so basically what we're getting is a confirmation of information that was coming through 40, 50 years ago that I've been following. And in point of fact, I was so thrilled when Greg Braden came out with his concept about this first medicine-less hospital in Beijing, China, which was a Qigong center, and dealt with 250,000 people with an 85% success rate. And you can look that up on the internet, first medicine-less hospital in the world. And he actually got connected with a woman from the West who had an inoperable tumor, who went over to this Qigong center, and three practitioners there dissolved her tumor in about 3 minutes. And there's a video out that actually shows the process of the tumors dissolving. So this is Greg Braden, YouTube, Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes. Check it out, which shows you what can be done. And he even gets into the techniques that they did, that these masters used. So it's very, very interesting program. Although it wasn't news to me, the thing I liked about it was that it proved what I had on my website 10 years earlier. And if you go to my website at etyoga.com, there's a free download there called The Root Cause of Disease. And I get into this topic, and that was published 10 years before these guys came up with their most recent discoveries. And some of that wasn't just my own thinking. It was to do with information that I had from multiple sources, Pleiadian, Sirian, Arcturian, Andromedan, from sources that are positive ETs. And there's many beautiful positive races that are assisting us on the Earth at this time and have been giving through people that have channeled a lot of the information, and not all channel information is accurate. Clearly that's so, and it's like anything else, you have to use your discernment, and just because somebody's saying that this is from the Pleiadians doesn't necessarily mean it is either. But I can tell you this much, is that most everyone on this planet right now, nobody's originally from here. And our origin of humanity originated in the Lyra constellation in the Vega star system. And at some point in our journey, humans had 12-strand DNA and 12 chakras operating. And then we're talking about the modern era of humanity, where our DNA had been manipulated by the Anunnaki, as expressed through the writings of Zechariah Sitchin. And I noticed that recently there's been a number of people like Dave Hodges and Steve Quayle, Mike Adams. They're starting to get the picture that maybe it, the people that are running the planet, maybe they're not actually all human. No kidding. Where they go wrong, or at least where Dave Hodges and Steve Quayle go wrong, is they seem to have this impression that the only ETs that are out there are what they call the Nephilim, which were the those that came from heaven and onto Earth and were giants. And point of fact, yeah, part of the Anunnaki were giants, and they ranged anywhere from 7 to 10 feet tall to those who were 15 to 20, and even 30 to 40 feet high that lived on this planet. And there's plenty of proof of this all over Europe and all over the place, actually, but especially in Europe, like places like in Romania. They have cemeteries there where, with giant skeletons, and, you know, you can go on YouTube and search this stuff, and you can see pictures. I mean, if you see a skeleton that's of a 12-foot, you know, being, I mean, and it's not just one. So, yes, there were giants that were on the Earth, and there were many civilizations that go back farther in history than the powers that be would like us to know about. So the whole thing that, for me, comes down to... I really loved it when Greg Braden came up with this video, because it proved the concept that I had been talking about. And the other concept is that it is our beliefs, our definitions, our emotions, and our intentions that create the outer experience that we have of 3D reality. And this has now been coming out and being proven as well. And it so turns out that belief is everything, and it also, belief is what controls the health of the body. And a positive belief in healthy belief is one of the best that beliefs you can have. And but like any other belief, you got to really believe it. And that's another one of these things, is even aging, it's all about what you believe. They've had experiments where they've taken people that were in their 70s and put them in an environment where it was an all 1950s environment. And then the studies show, because there's what's called biological age and chronological age. And what these people experienced was is that all of them who went into this kind of a secluded environment for a period of a month, they all of them regressed in biological age by about 12 years. So it's we've been conditioned to think that, oh, as you get older, you have to age and all this, but it's not necessarily so. It's all about belief, and it's a very fascinating subject. Of course, in medicine, people know about the placebo effect, and the placebo effect is all about a sugar pill, basically, that can perform the real thing. Well, the point is, why does the placebo work? Because we believe it. And the placebo is not just true in the medical field. It's true in every field of life. It's what you believe is. And then in ET Yoga, we like to talk about, well, where do we get these beliefs? Well, we buy into them as we're, going through an aging. But primarily, from the time that we're born until we're about 6 or 7 years old, we're downloading beliefs from our initial caregivers. And so that's where our initial beliefs come from. And we should thank our initial caregivers for those wonderful beliefs that we have inherited, but also there may be some that aren't so positive. And those are the ones that if we see them showing up in our life, they're showing up in our life not to punish us, but to show us what we do believe. And then we can go back and get into those topics and reprogram our beliefs. And they're getting a little bit more and more creative now in terms of finding ways to reprogram beliefs. And some of it's through life regression, such as Dolores Cannon has a lot of practitioners around the world that are doing previous life regression. And by the way, on that count, I've mentioned a number of times that even in early Christianity, reincarnation used to be part of it. In fact, I have a little piece of information here that actually during Caesar Constantine and the First Council of Nicaea, that's N-I-C-A-E-A, that was established to actually take reincarnation out of the Christian doctrines. And I think that was in about it started in 325 A.D. Constantine basically made up his own version of Christianity as a method to control the population. And even Paramahansa Yogananda, and if you don't know who Paramahansa Yogananda was, he's another one of my spiritual teachers, as I was involved with Self-Realization Fellowship for a few years, that he has a book out that I highly recommend. It's called Autobiography of a Yogi. And you can read it over and over. You'll pick up new things each time you read it. Another book I highly recommend in the extraterrestrial realm is Bringers of the Dawn by Barbara Marciniak. And that was first came out in the 1970s. But Paramahansa Yogananda has stated that the concept of reincarnation used to be a part of early Christian belief, but was removed. And from the book Autobiography of a Yogi, it says, the early Christian church accepted the doctrine of reincarnation, which was expounded by the Gnostics and by numerous church fathers, including Clement of Alexandria, the celebrated Origen, both 3rd century, and St. Jerome, 5th century. The doctrine was first declared a heresy in A.D. 553 by the Second Council of Constantinople. And so for those people that in the West, everybody doesn't seem to share the idea that most of the rest of the world has caught on to, that reincarnation is in point of fact. And my understanding of that process is that you maintain your level of consciousness, and I did spend some time in the last program talking about the soul trap. So if you're interested in learning about that one, you go to the archives from, it wasn't last week, but the last ET Yoga program, which was 2 weeks ago. And the one that's in the archive right now, and you can go there and hear all about the soul trap. I'm not spending time on that one on tonight's program. So the bottom line here is that the more as time goes by, the more science is backing up information that was out there channeled. If it wasn't channeled by extraterrestrials, then how did who they were channeling know that the universe was holographic and that it functions much like a giant reality computer program and that thought creates or belief creates? Who was it that knew that 50 years ago when it's only being proven by science now? Well, I highly suggest that I don't, on this program, try to convince people of the existence of extraterrestrials, because it's not about if they exist or not. It's about the information. It's, is the information true or not? And if you can go back into the 1970s and research the Seth material, S-E-T-H, by Jane Roberts, check out Barbara Marciniak's Bringers of the Dawn. Check out Bashar information back in the 1970s as channeled by Daryl Anka. And when you read this information, it's 50 years ahead of its time. And that's the kind of information that I was that I've been tuned into, and I've been cross-referencing information that's from Arcturian, Andromedan, Pleiadian, and Sirian information for about 30 or 40 years. And all of it's consistent, and it's all about, it's been out there for a long time, and people just now are starting to catch on that, oh, wow, this is really, this stuff is really so. And if you don't want to believe it's from extraterrestrials, fine, check out the information. Is it true or not? And another one of the concepts that I'd like to amplify on is the idea that outer circumstances don't come with built-in meanings, because nobody talks about this one, and except for Bashar years ago. And the idea here being that we place definitions and emotional spin on outer circumstances, which determines our experience from that event. And the formula is that a positive definition and a positive emotional spin will create a positive experience. And a negative definition and a negative emotional spin creates a negative experience. Everything in the world is actually neutral. And by the way, judgment is at the core of disease issues, because how can you create a negative if everything is neutral? The only way is to have a negative judgment. And thus, disease, in order to create a disease, you have to place a negative judgment on a neutral event. So if you can just eliminate judgment from your thinking, you could eliminate disease issues. And in point of fact, all disease issues, as pointed out by the Pleiadians, are emotional in nature. A dysfunctional emotion is at the core root of dis-ease. And those happen in our auric field. And that's where they appear first, and then they manifest in the physical body. So when you start getting into the real source of healing, it's in the one of the ideas is the ability to actually identify your emotional dysfunctions and then reprogram and heal those dysfunctions, because if you can heal them and neutralize them, then they will disappear, and so will the manifestation of their effect. And that Qigong school in Beijing, China, talks about this as well with respect to chronic disease. When these emotions become stagnant and they don't get neutralized, they shut down the flow of energy, and this when energy gets stuck, it creates what's called chronic disease. And certainly as time goes on, people will learn more and more and more about self-healing techniques. We're not going to talk about those tonight, but certainly this is a topic that I do get into. I'd like to, before we get too far into the program, I'd like to talk about our 12 chakra system, because as in the yoga teachings, most people are aware that we have 7 chakras, but they're not aware we have 3 chakras that are above our head that are golden in nature, and 2 below that are silver. And the idea here is to get all 12 chakras activated and spinning. And I would highly suggest Solara on Ra, S-O-L-A-R-A, Solara on A-N-R-A. And Solara on Ra on YouTube has some amazing meditations. I think one of the best is a 13th chakra activation, 13th being the heart chakra, which basically overrides the others. And our 5 of these chakras are outside the body. They've been kind of dormant since the fall of Atlantis. Third dimensional Earth, because Earth used to be fifth dimensional, then it went to fourth, now it's third. We're going back up again. At least a portion of the population will be going back up into fifth dimension. And this whole idea of the chakra system, it's like we still have the chakras, but they're a bit out of phase to the normal 3D frequency. But as we're ascending into higher dimensions, and as the Earth's Schumann frequency is raising, it's going through the roof, by the way. If you check out any information concerning Earth Schumann, it's blowing everybody's mind in the scientific community. And the idea here being that these chakras are a bit out of phase with normal 3D frequency, but as we increase our own frequency, some of these chakras become more and more available to us. And I want to share with you some information from Master Kuthumi concerning the 12 crystals that correspond to the 12 chakras and the 12 strands of DNA, and also 12 numbers. And the first strand of DNA is held by the amethyst crystal, and this vibrates to the number 8. The amethyst supports the first strand in setting a solid foundation from which you can tap into your divine plan and manifest it. The second strand is held by the quartz crystal and vibrates to the number 2. This is about obtaining and maintaining balance in order for the universal books to balance what you need to be in balance. And as you identify changes, this is where the third strand of DNA is impacting on many of you, and this is held or supported by the tiger's eye crystal and vibrates to the number 1. The majority of humanity has been colored and conditioned by society's expectations placed upon them. You forgot who you are, and as your third strand has become more and more active, you have literally begun to ask, who am I? Why am I here? Surely this is not the only reason I came here, and you are quite right in the work with the tiger's eye. And so the idea here is to work with the tiger's eye. The fourth strand, which resonates directly with the heart chakra, is held by the rose quartz crystal, and this is to do with your relationship with intimate family, your parents, your siblings, your children, and your partner. So any issues revolving around these intimate areas are affected by the fourth strand of DNA. And as this strand becomes more active, many of you may find that you have been or are facing challenges with your immediate family, parents, siblings, children, and your partner. So just take note of what is being said, and this will give you a better idea of which strand in your body has become active and which one is most influencing your life at this time. This strand vibrates to the number 4. The fifth strand of DNA is held by the sodalite crystal and vibrates to the number 3, and this one impacts immensely on your throat chakra. This is to do with communication. People who are teachers, people who are trying to bring about change through communication, are truly activating their fifth strand of DNA, and there is this there is no tomorrow. It's becoming a very strong strand, becoming as you move out of the old age of limiting and poverty consciousness, a victim consciousness, conditional love, and lust consciousness, the throat chakra is becoming more active because people need to learn to say what they mean and mean what they say and to lead by example, by thought, action, and word. And this is what the fifth strand of DNA is all about. The sixth strand is held by the citrine and vibrates to the number 6. This is also connected to the sun chakra. And this strand is responsible for showing you where you have disconnected with yourself on a soul level. It shows you loud and clear where you have given your power to your lower ego. It will highlight this, and as you activate this strand, it's about reuniting all of these as parts of yourself so you can live your life in balance, united masculine and feminine energies. The seventh strand is DNA is held by the labradorite crystal and vibrates to the number 9. This particular strand of DNA is affecting your abilities to communicate telepathically. You could say that this strand is the magic wand you've been looking for, and it has been inside of you all along. By consciously focusing on aligning yourself with this strand, you begin to learn the mechanics of manifesting miracles and magic in your life. The seventh strand of DNA also broadens the imagination's ability to tap into higher levels of consciousness, and many of the new children are masters of utilizing this seventh strand. The eighth strand of DNA vibrates with the pyrites crystal and vibrates to the number 8, and this is connected to the solar plexus chakra. The eighth strand of DNA is about looking at your emotional foundation. It forces you to look at and see what you honor and respect in yourself, and it asks you to look at the boundaries you have set and those of you who are going through deep challenges at this time with regards to the looking at those boundaries. You're working with the frequency of the eighth strand of DNA. The ninth strand vibrates to the sodalite crystal, and the number is 4. The ninth strand asks you to decide between love and fear, knowledge and ignorance, wisdom and denial. The ninth strand forces and faces you with the challenge of yes or no. It shows you that there is no gray area anywhere anymore. You either are or you are not. You are either following a path of healing or you are not. So you could say that the ninth strand of DNA does not have much of a sense of humor. The tenth strand of DNA vibrates to the crystal by the name of rhodochrosite, and the number is 1. And the tenth strand is about addressing all the structures that you have adopted from your father. Even if your biological father was not part of your life, those belief systems are still affecting you because you are genetically coded with the information. Is this clear to everyone? So you will need to look at your childhood and try to remember or reflect about anything that you can remember most about your relationship with your father, your stepfather, or any father figure as such, and this will show you exactly where in your life you are sabotaging yourself. The 11th chakra is held by the crystal Charotle, I think it's Charotle, and this is the chakra that motivates you to preserve so that you can master yourself and persevere so you can master yourself, so that you can graduate from the University of Life with distinctions. When you are working with the 11th strand, you are actively searching for your divine purpose. You are adamant to find out why you are here, and this automatically sets in motion a chain reaction of experiences that will show you what is no longer supporting you and what is. In a way, it offers you a challenge. This is the ninth strand. And do you want it or don't you? Are you going to change or are you going to remain in your comfort zone? In order to master yourself, you need to be courageous enough to admit to and acknowledge what is no longer a part of you, what no longer serves you, and what you are afraid of. And the 12th strand of DNA is held by the plain white selenite or quartz crystals and vibrates to the number 4 as well. This is where you come to the end of cycles, where you are faced with a life-changing experience, the crossroads, so to speak. Know that you are working with the 12th strand DNA and issues. This is where the soul steps in and where soul takes over, and you can call it fate, you can call it destiny, and it just takes you where you must be. It is like everything is completely out of your control, and the only choice you have is to surrender. You can carry on and forget it if you want to, but in time you'll get tired, so it's better to surrender to it. The idea here is utilize these crystals, the 12 master crystals, to work with these issues. If you have some of these crystals in your possession already, cleanse them, keep them in your environment, acknowledge them for what they are presently, work with them, and ask that your energy can tap into their wisdom and into the frequencies that they are emanating. And by acknowledging the crystal's presence and what is assisting you with your, assisting you automatically becomes more sensitive and attuned to what the DNA of your body is trying to tell you and show you. You also increase the rate at which your body is transforming from carbon to silicon base. Therefore, they benefit you immensely. And working with these crystals and the crystal kingdom, and specifically the ones that I've mentioned tonight on this program. And I wanted to get that information out before we start nearing the close of the program. And the bottom line is that Master Kathumi is clearly identifying these crystals that resonate with these 12 chakras. Now, also in Bringers of the Dawn, there's a technique there called Pleiadian spinning. And I'm not going into the technique tonight, but just to let you know that it's mentioned in the book. It's a technique that I have been doing for about 15 years. And they state in the book that you spin 33 times, and then you work up to 99 or 3 times a day of the 33. And if you can do that for a while, the challenge is that we'll see how long you stay on the planet, or at least in this dimension. And they also recommend the technique or meditation called Pillar of Light technique. And there are times when ET Yoga, when actually I go through the main techniques that are utilized with ET Yoga. And those are the Who Am I technique as taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi, which I will give you at the end of the program. And as well, utilizing the Hari Om mantra, and as well the Merkaba technique, and also I do really like the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. So these are some of the basic, as well as the Pleiadian Pillar of Light meditation, and these are the main ones that I, from time to time, go through and spend a whole program just on techniques. I'd like to also mention that I've had some amazing information related to Orgone Energy. That's O-R-G-O-N-E. And I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about Orgone Energy, because if you're aware of chemtrails, and if you don't know about chemtrails by now, I don't know, you're way behind the curve, because most people are waking up to with chemtrails. And in those chemtrails are barium and strontium and aluminum and, you know, not such good stuff, really. And there's multiple uses for why they're spraying the skies with this stuff. I think the idea here is that there's Orgone pyramids, and you can take Orgone pyramids and border your property, with, say, with 4 of them, and they'll take care of your chemtrails. They'll just dissipate. And you can go on YouTube and check this out. And I've actually done it, and I have some. So I can tell you for sure that it works. And there's another guy. His name is Mike Emery, E-M-E-R-Y. He's got some amazing YouTubes out there. He's kind of hard to follow, but he's a very bright guy with a lot of ideas. He's involved with what's called Bubble Tech. And by the way, Orgone Energy is an antidote to the 5G rollout, because it takes negative energy and it converts it into positive energy. And that includes all the 5D crap that they're setting up all over the planet. You know, while everybody is worried about their finances or worried about which political party they're in, they're rolling out the 5G, which is basically a rollout of artificial intelligence as well. And the Orgone Energy is, to my way of thinking, is clearly the answer. Also, I think important for that is shungite or carbon-60. I'm not a big proponent of taking the carbon-60 orally because I believe that there's a product that came out of India. It's called Amrit Kalash, and Amrit Kalash is found by Japanese researchers to be 25,000 times stronger than vitamin C. It works like a Star Wars deflection system for you in terms of your immunities. And would prefer that to getting involved with anything related to nanoparticles. So the bottom line here is that this Orgone Energy has multiple purposes. It also has a connection to manifestation techniques, healing techniques. It's the energy that Royal Rife used as a cancer cure, and he was proven to be successful with the concept of capacitors and this whole idea of Orgone Energy. It's called the Orgone by modern terms. In Asia, they'd call it the Qi. You could call it the prana, or the bottom line is it's like divine energy. And it's a way to tap into it, and it's a way that it can be utilized in a practical way in our lives. So highly, highly recommend you check out Orgone Pyramids, and there's even ways that you can, in the bubble tech, as taught by Mike Emery, very cheaply, you could make this bubble tech technology in a 2-pound flower pot. It's basically like sand, cement, some crystals, some dirt, layered. There's videos out that show you how to make a bubble. It's a highly fascinating subject. And I guess to me it also, you know, relates to health, and of course, what's more important than your health? I mean, would you rather have how many millionaires have stated once they lose their health, their money is worthless? And I really think that we need to really pay attention to that, and also just the mental concept. If you're a new listener to ET Yoga, it's like, you know, we've been taught in North America that money is the answer to everything. But in point of fact, there is nothing that will satisfy the mind other than when the mind knows itself or becomes self-realized. If you go through just a simple process, like I've seen, like if you're a college student, you say, okay, what would you like? Oh, I'd like my degree. Okay, well, what do you want next? Oh, I want a car, or I want to get married. And what else do you want? Oh, okay, you got it. What about, oh, you want kids? Okay, you have kids. You want a higher paying job. Okay, you got the higher paying job. Where does it end? Does it ever end? No, it doesn't, because there's always something else. It's like an ice cream cone that melts. Either it's gone, or if you're losing it. The bottom line is there's nothing outside of yourself that will make you totally fulfilled and satisfied other than becoming self-realized. And once you realize that, then you're on a spiritual journey. And that spiritual journey is what is your lodestone. That's your guiding star for the rest of your life. I'd like to now share with you the Who Am I technique, which I picked up from Baba Ram Das, and then made further connections with Sri Ramana Maharshi on a spiritual plane. The idea here is to get to the highest place you know how to get to, either through doing asanas, pranayams, meditation, or whatever method you want to use to get to the highest place you know how to get to. And then put your full attention in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And then ask the following: Who am I? And you can say that once or twice or 10 times, whatever feels comfortable. And then when you get totally focused in the center of your forehead and you become that spot, you state the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.